We've been looking at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, and it talks about a group of nations that really don't exist anymore. They're called something else, all right? Now, these nations are gone, but the spirit that drove them to do what they did are still very much alive and still operational. We've looked at several. We're looking at the Canaanites, and that was a extremely long series of the Canaanites, but it's worth it. Just for review quickly, the Canaanites, that spirit, the root cause of all the addictive behavior, no matter what is, if someone has an addiction of some sort, the spirit behind that is the Canaanite spirits. And if you want more, go to the series and you'll see them as you go along. You can listen to every one we've done so far. Now, the Canaanite spirit operates and absolutely brings shame. And we can't go through 5 or 6 or 7 half-hour teachings, obviously. But we can just kind of catch you up. And that's what we're doing right now. We've given you dozens of scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11. We talked about prosperity. To prosper means restoration of God's people. We looked at that fact last Friday. It talks about prosper, God's prosperity upon him. And it talked in 1 Samuel 10:10, and he had Revelation 19:10 and Nehemiah 1:11, and it goes on and on. Isaiah 53, what we're talking about now, but we looked at Psalm 45, 2 through 4. See, prosperity is the advancement of God's name. You're going to see some passages right here. I hope it will help you. And see, that the prosperity in the life of individuals will offset, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the tremendous, awful things that go on in their lives. Now, look at this. I mentioned a moment ago about Jesus taking our. Now, I want you to read 53, Isaiah verse 10. Yet it pleased to the Lord to bruise him. Of course, that's Jesus, who has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Then look at verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, he shall bear their iniquities. Now, when you look at this passage of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, you will notice Jesus was bruised. He had grief. This is verse 10. His soul was an offering to sin. He shall see his seed. That's us. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Who's he talking about there? Well, in the first part of the verse, Lord shall bruise him, put him to grief, that's Jesus, make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, all right? He shall prolong his days. Notice, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's that word prosper again. There's that word prosper again, which is exactly that. Exactly that. Prosperity. The willingness to suffer brought him prosperity. And he did that to see God's purpose fulfilled and to share his afflictions. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, that's us, for he shall bear their iniquities. So Jesus bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. And by doing that, we live a life that God blesses because of that. If you're not into God blessing you, then, my friend, you're missing something here. You're missing the blessings of God. That's why Jesus did what he did on Calvary. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. God wants you to prosper in what you're doing. God, and not, again, not wallowing in your own gravy. This is not a gravy train idea or being full of greed. Not at all. But what it does say is that God, everything you bought on the cross belongs to me. Because that's why you did it. You didn't do it for yourself. You did it for us. That's why it says, shall my righteousness servant justify many. He bears the iniquity. He bears the grief. He bears the sorrow. He bears the sin. And we can be blessed by that cross experience. So what's happening here is that this spirit, which we're talking about, which is the canine spirit, don't want that in people's lives. The spirit, the enemy, wants to destroy individuals, this particular spirit, by addictions of some sort. Some sort of addiction, some sort of malady, some sort of perversion. You don't need a catalog of what the perversions are, you know. You know what the addictions are. I mean, you know. You know. You know where the people are addicted. And this spirit, the canine spirit, and again, you have to go back to study, and we did in the beginning about how the Canaanites affected Israel, how the Canaanites affected Israel. We looked at that. So that spirit affects us the same way, but not in the same manner. The spirit operates in the same way, but not the same manner. He doesn't do the same thing to us as he did to them, but yet he does, in the manner of speaking, the same thing trying to destroy us. That's why the Canaanite spirit is extremely dangerous. That's why people are addicted and, quote unquote, they can't be set free, quote unquote. That's what they think. That's why they get better and they go right back. They get better and they go right back. They need deliverance. They need deliverance from these things. They need to be set free by the power of God. For that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Paul said, so it must be true, isn't it? They need deliverance from these things, these addictions that's destroying them. Let's look at a New Testament scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Here's what Paul said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sakes, which is the church. So Paul's saying, listen, I'm going through some difficulties. I'm going through some problems and I suffer. Not talking about addictions here. He talked about affliction. Affliction is different than addiction. He said, I'm doing it. For the church, for the body of Christ, for what God wants in you and in your life. Now, let's go back to a Old Testament passage, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 13. Look at this. Interesting. 13. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou dost eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou was exceedingly beautiful, and thou dost prosper into a kingdom. Wow. That's an interesting passage of scripture, isn't it? If you go up the page, all right, you're going to see some very familiar names, okay? If you look at verse number 3, thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, the birth and the nativity is the land of Canaan. the father of the Amorites and the mother of Hittites. Hittites, by the way, owned Israel. You can read that in Joshua. Joshua tells you that. Joshua chapter 1 calls Israel the land of the Hittites. So here again, all these spirits operating together. The Amorites, if you read the word, there was 23 Amorite kings mentioned in the word of God throughout the passages. So the Amorites had the most kings. The Hittites owned Israel, and the Canaanites, they just ran through everything and brought in the addictions. Brought in the addictions, and that's what you see. So you have these three spirits working against you. You have the Amorite spirit that wants to be king of your life, said of Jesus. You have the Hittite spirit, which tries to take you over. And then you have the big one right here that we've been talking about. So that's what we're looking at. See, prosperous kingdom. Now let's go to Amos. Amos chapter number 5, verse 6. Okay, look at this. Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. That's the verse. All right? Fire. Fire. Break out in fire. Break out in fire. In fire. In fire. You got to seek God. And the people that are being affected by the spirit of the Canaanites must seek God with fire. See, must. They must seek the Lord and they shall live. That's why they're dying out there. That's why those that are involved in these addictions have very short lives. Their lives are shortened by the addiction, because they don't seek the Lord. So they get devoured by the addiction. You know that. By the drugs, the alcohol, the perversion, they get destroyed. That's what happens to them. They get destroyed. And this is a sad situation. It's a sad situation. It's so sad that you see this happen. Extremely so. It just breaks my heart to see what people's going through. See the addict. Because I deal with the drug addicts. I deal with the alcohol. The people with alcohol taking over them. I deal with them. You do too. You may know someone. You may have someone in your family or friend or neighbor somewhere. The drug addicts are so pitiful because the enemy has caught them and they have to do certain things to buy the money, to get the money to buy more of the stuff to kill them. It's like shooting themselves in the foot. They buy the ammunition to shoot themselves in the foot because they're addicted to shooting themselves in the foot. And that's what happens to them. That's why they're out in the street. That's why they break into houses. That's what they do to they do. Why? Because they need the dollars to go to the pushers to buy the stuff. Or need the dollars to go into the little markets and buy the booze. And it's so tragic that these spirits drive these individuals. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. See, these spirits put a person to shame. We met one the other day. Mark and I came out of the grocery store. There was one standing there. One standing there. Look what Romans 10:11 says. For the spirit, check that. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. When you believe on Jesus, when you believe on the Lord, you're not ashamed. You're just not. You're not ashamed. I hope we're not ashamed to stand up. I act like Jamie says all the time, don't be ashamed. Stand up. Jamie's right. Tell somebody about the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Or as I say it, God gives you an assignment. Go ahead and carry it out. Now let's look at Psalm 105. And let's look at some passage here. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing praises, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Look at this. 3. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I like that. 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. 5. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his judgment of his mouth. 6. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord, verse 7, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. You see? You seek God. And that's why they need so much help. That's Proverbs chapter number 12, verse 19. Look at this. You know, hear all this stuff going on. Hear all this stuff going on over and over and over and over and over again. Let's put this in our hearts. Proverbs 12, 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Wow. The lip of truth shall be established. When a person speaks truth through the lips, you speak truth, that's established forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Why? Because the lying tongue generates a whole lot of bad things, and you know that. So that's the Amorite spirit. That's them. We've done a lot of work there. Next time you see an addicted person, next time you see an individual that under some kind of addiction, some kind of behaviors that is destroying them, some kind of situations in which they're in, the root cause of that particular spirit, the root cause of that particular spirit. I'm getting to the root cause. It's not about they had a bad life or they were raised here or raised there. That's not the issue. Because behind that issue is the Canaanites. That's the spirit of the Canaanites in operation within their lives to destroy them. But thank God, there is a way out. More tomorrow.